The day usually starts before the sun. A single mother moves through a quiet apartment trying to get ahead of the clock. There is breakfast to make, a lunchbox to pack, a uniform to iron, and a mind already running through work deadlines and bills. She moves fast, but nothing about her pace feels rushed. It feels necessary. By 7 a.m., she has already lived a half day that no one will see. Most people notice her strength, but rarely the strain. They see the results, not the cost. They do not see the late night planning, the silent panic when something breaks, or the careful stretching of every dollar. They never see the moments when she sits in the dark for a few minutes, trying to gather enough energy for what comes next. This story enters her world without judgment. It follows the real weight she carries and the quiet courage behind each decision. It asks what society expects, what it overlooks, and what it leaves her to manage alone. And it shows how the silent load shapes a life, a home, and a future. Chapter 1, The Weight No One Sees. The morning started before the sky changed color. The apartment sat in a quiet part of the city where most windows were still dark. Inside one of them, a single mother moved through her kitchen with steady steps. The clock showed 5:30. She stood at the counter, cutting fruit for her child's lunch and boiling water for tea. The world outside looked calm, but inside her mind, the day had already begun in full. She checked the time again. The hours between 5:30 and 7 felt like a private race. Breakfast had to be made, clothes had to be laid out, papers had to go in the backpack. She planned every action with the precision of someone who could not afford a mistake. She moved with purpose because she knew that one delay in the morning could follow her for the next 12 hours. The kettle clicked. She poured hot water into a cup and placed it on the table. Her child's shoes were near the couch. She saw them and remembered they needed wiping. A mental list formed. Wipe the shoes, pack the snacks, sign the reading form, switch the laundry. She never wrote these things down, yet they sat in her mind as clearly as printed instructions. This quiet pressure had no name when she first felt it years ago. Only later did she learn that researchers called it the emotional load, or the second shift. It described the work done after work, the planning, the remembering, the anticipating, and the managing. The invisible labor that ran a household even when the mother's body was tired. She did not need the term. She lived it every day. She walked into the hallway with folded uniforms in her hands. Her child slept on the other side of the door. She paused before waking them. These were the small moments she tried to preserve, the few seconds when the house felt still. She touched the doorknob and took a breath. Then she pushed the door open gently. Her child blinked awake, confused by the early light from the hall. She smiled and greeted them with a soft voice. The morning routine began. They sat up slowly. She helped them get dressed while talking through the day. She reminded them about the school assignment. She combed their hair while they talked about a field trip coming up. She listened, even though her mind kept scanning the tasks waiting for her after drop-off. At 6:15, she returned to the kitchen. The lunchbox was open. She placed the fruit inside, added a small sandwich, and checked the water bottle. Everything had its place. She had learned over time that order made the day smoother. Disorder cost her hours. It cost money. It cost her peace. She reached for the notebook where she kept her work schedule. A big meeting sat at 10. She looked at the time again. She needed to catch the bus by 7:15. There was no margin. If she missed it, the next one would make her late. She walked back to the hallway, picked up her work bag, and checked for her ID badge. She reviewed the list in her mind one more time. Her child asked about breakfast. She placed a plate on the table, set down the cup of tea, and sat with them. She cut the pancakes into small pieces. She glanced at her phone to check the bus arrival time. She never let her child see her anxiety about the clock. She tried to make the morning feel calm, even when her stomach felt tight. This early routine was not special. It repeated every weekday, yet it shaped her entire life. People who saw her at work never imagined the effort it took to reach her desk by 9. They saw a professional woman. They never saw the rush behind her smile. As breakfast ended, she wiped the table and placed the dishes in the sink. She did not wash them. She did not have time. She made a note to return early in the evening so the kitchen would not stay messy overnight. She put on her shoes, helped her child with theirs, and walked to the door. The hallway outside smelled faintly of detergent. She locked the apartment and led her child down the stairs. Her bag felt heavy. As they walked to the bus stop, she rehearsed her work meeting in her mind while listening to her child discuss a story they had written in class. She answered with interest, even though she felt tired. The bus arrived a minute after they reached the stop. She lifted her child onto the first step and followed behind. They sat together near a window. She adjusted her child's coat and placed the backpack on the seat between them. She counted stops silently. The bus made its way through early traffic, passing small shops not yet open. At the school gate, she knelt down. She fixed her child's collar and handed over the lunchbox. She reminded them to listen, to be kind, and to enjoy the day. She always said these words, not because she feared misbehavior, but because she wanted her child to feel supported. They hugged quickly. Her child disappeared into the schoolyard. She stood outside the gate for a moment. That pause, small as it was, marked the shift from one world to the next. Now she had to run. The workday waited, and she needed to make it on time. The bus ride to her job was crowded. People squeezed in at every stop. She held the overhead rail and watched the city come alive. She saw other women with the same expression she carried, concentrated, tired, determined. Many of them were mothers, too. She wondered what their mornings looked like. She suspected they were not much different from hers. At 8:45, she walked through the doors of her workplace. She took a breath and straightened her clothes. She greeted a few coworkers, walked to her desk, and powered on her computer. She caught her reflection in the dark screen for a moment. Her hair needed smoothing, and her eyes looked tired. She ignored it. There was work to do. By 9:15, her inbox was full. Emails from clients, a note from her supervisor, a reminder from human resources. The meeting at 10 loomed. She opened a spreadsheet and began entering numbers. She focused on each cell, but her mind drifted to the cost of groceries, the rising price of transportation, and the school fee due next month. She shook her head slightly and returned to the spreadsheet. She could only focus on one thing at a time, and right now that thing was the data in front of her. Her supervisor stopped by her desk. He asked about the project. She answered clearly and calmly. He nodded and walked away. She exhaled quietly. People at work respected her professionalism. They admired her reliability. None of them knew how much she carried before she arrived at the office. By 10, she was in the meeting room. She delivered her part of the presentation with confidence. She made eye contact. She shared updates. She explained the next steps. Afterward, a coworker complimented her. She thanked them. She did not say that she had rehearsed every line in her head while packing lunch that morning. When she returned to her desk, she noticed a message from the school. Her child needed a signature for a field trip form. She felt a small wave of worry. The form was in the backpack at home. She would need to handle it tonight. She added the reminder to the mental list she carried. The list grew longer as the hours passed. She kept working through the day. Emails, spreadsheets, phone calls, deadlines. At noon, she ate lunch at her desk. She rarely took a full break. Time felt too precious. She needed every minute to stay ahead of tasks. She took a bite of her sandwich and continued typing. Her thoughts drifted to the bills waiting at home. She needed to pay the utility bill before the due date. She would do it after dinner. The afternoon passed in a steady rhythm of work. She completed her tasks, updated her supervisor, and checked her schedule for the next day. At 4:30, she packed her bag and left the building. She walked quickly toward the bus stop, hoping to reach the school before closing. She checked the time. She felt the usual tension in her chest. She moved faster. The bus arrived late. She stood on the sidewalk, watching the minutes slip away. Her shoulders tightened. She hated being late for pickup. She hated the guilt. She hated the feeling that she might disappoint her child. When the bus finally came, she boarded and sat down, breathing heavily. She reached the school just in time. Her child ran to her, smiling. The weight on her shoulders lifted for a moment. They walked home together, talking about the day. She held their hand and felt the warmth. These were the moments that made everything worthwhile. Back at the apartment, she unlocked the door and walked inside. The morning dishes were still in the sink. She placed her bag on the table and took a breath. She changed clothes, then helped her child with homework. She cooked a simple dinner. She cleaned the kitchen. She folded laundry. She reviewed her bills. She signed the field trip form. She set aside items for tomorrow. By 9:30, her child was asleep. The apartment was quiet again. She sat on the edge of the couch, staring at the wall. Her body felt heavy. Her eyes burned. She rubbed her forehead and leaned back. This was the weight no one saw. The long days, the constant planning, the pressure that never rested. She carried it because she had no choice. She carried it because she loved her child. She carried it because society expected her to hold everything together. She looked around the room. It was clean and calm. Her child slept safely in the next room. For a moment, she allowed herself to feel proud. Not because the day was perfect, but because she survived it. She did what needed to be done. She kept going, even when exhaustion pressed on her bones. The clock showed 10. She knew tomorrow would be the same. Another early morning, another rush, another set of decisions no one else would see. She turned off the lights and walked to her room. As she lay down, she thought about the quiet truth that shaped her life. Strength was not loud. Strength was not dramatic. Strength was waking up at 5:30, doing everything required, and showing up again the next day. The silent load did not define her, but it shaped her. It pushed her. It demanded more than she ever expected to give. Yet she kept moving, kept planning, kept loving, and kept hoping for something easier one day. As she closed her eyes, one question echoed quietly in the room. How long can one person carry so much without anyone noticing the cost? Chapter 2. Inside the pressure system. The pressure did not come from one place. It came from many small forces that added up across a single mother's day. Some were financial, some were emotional. Some came from society itself. Each force pushed quietly, yet together they created a weight that shaped how she lived, how she planned, and how she understood her own strength. In a community center on the east side of the city, a group of single mothers gathered around a long wooden table. The room smelled faintly of cleaning solution. Fluorescent lights hummed overhead. The sound of children playing in a nearby room drifted in and out. The women spoke slowly at first, choosing their words with care. Many of them worked long hours. Some worked nights. All of them carried stories of strain that rarely reached the surface. One mother explained how she budgeted food for the month. She worked full-time in a retail store. Her check arrived every 2 weeks. She divided the money into categories the moment it hit her account. Rent took the largest share. Utilities took the next. Only after those were paid could she think about groceries. She talked about stretching rice, beans, and pasta. She talked about buying chicken in bulk and freezing it in small bags. She talked about comparing prices at different stores. She said she could not remember the last time she shopped without checking her balance first. Another mother described the cost of transportation. She relied on buses to get her child to school and herself to work. The schedule was unpredictable. A missed bus could mean a late penalty at work or an extra charge at after-school care. She had learned the routes by heart. She left early every morning because she feared delays. She said she felt like she lived inside a timetable that she did not control. A third woman spoke about childcare. She worked as a nursing assistant at a hospital. Her shifts changed weekly. Some nights she did not know who would watch her child. She had a friend who helped when she could. She had a neighbor who stepped in sometimes. She balanced favors and promises, always hoping no emergency would break the fragile system she relied on. These stories were not dramatic. They were not unusual. They were routine. Yet routine did not make them easy. Each woman described a constant state of calculation. They measured time, they measured distance, they measured risk. Every decision had to be weighed. Every plan had a backup plan. The pressure system also had an emotional side. Decision fatigue settled in early and stayed late. The mothers often said it was not the big decisions that wore them down. It was the hundreds of small ones. What to cook? How to stretch the last dollars of the week? Which school form needed attention first? How to comfort a child after a hard day while hiding their own stress? Each choice chipped away at their energy. One woman explained that she often went to bed thinking about the next day. She pictured the tasks she needed to do. She worried about things she could not control. She wondered how she would manage if something unexpected happened. She said she felt like her mind never shut off. She carried everything in silence. She did not want her children to feel the weight she felt. In many cases, isolation deepened the stress. Some mothers had family members nearby, but support was limited. Others had no family at all in the city. Friendships were hard to maintain. Social gatherings required time, money, and emotional energy. Many women skipped them because they had nothing left to give at the end of the day. They missed companionship but did not know how to make space for it. One mother described losing touch with her closest friend over the years. At first, they met for coffee once a week, then once a month, then not at all. The mother said she did not mean to pull away. She simply ran out of time. Her friend tried to understand, but eventually the calls stopped. The mother said she often felt alone, even though she lived in a city full of people. Another mother said she avoided asking for help. She feared judgment. Society praised mothers who seemed strong and composed. It criticized those who appeared overwhelmed. She did not want to be seen as struggling, even though she struggled every day. She said she wanted to feel liked, not pitied. These emotional pressures did not show up on any form or report. They existed in the quiet moments of a mother's life. They shaped how she stood, how she breathed, and how she spoke. They influenced her decisions. They shaped her confidence. They contributed to burnout in ways that people did not easily see. Decision fatigue also interacted with financial strain. When money was tight, every purchase mattered. One mother described standing in front of a shelf at a supermarket, comparing two brands of cereal. The cheaper one saved a dollar. The healthier one cost more. She stood there for several minutes, calculating the long-term impact of a single choice. She said these moments made her feel tired in her bones. Financial strain also shaped how mothers interacted with institutions. Banks, landlords, schools, and workplaces had rules that did not bend easily. A mother who missed a payment faced late fees. A mother who missed a meeting faced questions. A mother who missed work faced consequences. The system expected stability from people whose lives were anything but stable. One mother described negotiating with her landlord after a sudden medical bill set her back. She explained her situation. The landlord listened, but said he needed the payment on time. She borrowed money from a friend. She repaid it over several months. She said the stress from that moment stayed with her long after the bill was settled. Workplaces also created pressure. Some employers offered flexibility. Many did not. Mothers who needed time off for school meetings or doctor visits often faced subtle consequences. One mother said her supervisor never said anything directly, but gave her fewer responsibilities after she left early, twice in 1 month. She felt punished for caring for her child. Another mother described hiding her family responsibilities at work. She feared being labeled unreliable. She pretended she could stay late when she could not. She avoided mentioning the challenges she faced. She carried the stress quietly. She said she wished workplaces understood the life she lived outside the office. The pressure system extended beyond finances and work. It reached into emotional identity. Many single mothers described feeling guilt. They felt guilty when they worked long hours. They felt guilty when they could not afford certain things. They felt guilty when they were tired. Guilt settled into their daily thoughts and shaped how they judged themselves. One mother described crying at night after her child fell asleep. She said she felt like she was always one step behind. She said she wanted to give her child more. She said she wished she had more time, more patience, more money, more energy. She hid these feelings during the day because she did not want to appear weak, weak. Another mother said she felt judged in public spaces. She felt eyes on her when her child had a tantrum in a store. She felt whispers when she paid with a voucher. She felt pressure to prove she was a good mother, even when no one said anything. She said she walked through the world aware of every glance. These emotional and social pressures created a sense of constant performance. The mothers felt they needed to be composed at all times. They felt they needed to show strength. They felt they needed to hide their exhaustion. The performance drained them. Yet they continued because they had no choice. Inside the community center, the women shared these stories without raising their voices. Their tone was calm, steady, and reflective. They spoke as if these pressures were part of the weather, something that drifted through their days without warning, something they had learned to live with. The conversation shifted to stigma. Every woman in the room had felt it. Some felt it strongly, others felt it quietly. Stigma came from neighbors, coworkers, extended family members, and sometimes strangers. People made assumptions about single mothers. They questioned their choices. They questioned their capabilities. They questioned their worth. One mother described a comment made by a coworker. The coworker asked if her child's father was involved. The mother said no. The coworker responded with a small shrug in a sentence that stung. She said, "That explains a lot." The mother spent the rest of the day thinking about those words. They sank into her mind and stayed there. Another mother said she avoided certain family gatherings because relatives asked questions she did not want to answer. They asked why she had not found someone to help her. They asked when she planned to date again. They asked why she looked so tired. She said she wished people understood that being a single mother was not a failure. It was a circumstance shaped by many factors. The women in the group nodded as she spoke. They understood the sting of judgment. They understood how a single comment could add weight to an already heavy day. They understood how stigma pushed mothers into silence. The group leader asked the women about their coping strategies. The answers were mixed. Some relied on routines, some relied on friends, some relied on faith, some relied on small pockets of time. The leader emphasized that seeking support was not a sign of weakness. It was a sign of strength. The mothers listened, but many of them still hesitated to ask for help. Outside the community center, the city moved at its usual pace. People walked past without noticing the gathering inside. Cars passed by. Shops opened their doors. The world continued without acknowledging the stories unfolding in that room. The women's voices blended with the hum of the building. Their stories floated through the air like threads of a larger truth. Later that day, one of the mothers stood at a bus stop with two grocery bags at her feet. The bags were heavy. Her hands ached. She looked tired. The bus was late again. She shifted her weight from one foot to the other. She checked her phone. She looked down the street. She took a long breath. This was the pressure system at work. It was not a single crisis. It was not a dramatic turning point. It was the accumulation of small strains. It was the long wait at a bus stop. It was the mental math done at a grocery shelf. It was the fear of judgment. It was the exhaustion hidden behind a steady face. A woman walking by glanced at her. The mother lifted her chin and straightened her back. She would not show how tired she felt. She would not show her worry. She held her bags tightly. When the bus arrived, she stepped on and found a seat near the back. She closed her eyes for a moment and tried to breathe. Inside her mind, questions formed. What could change? What support could make a difference? How long could this pace continue without breaking something inside her? These questions shaped her days, even when she did not speak them out loud. They formed the quiet heart of the pressure system. They were also the beginning of a deeper truth. If the world wanted to understand single mothers, it needed to look closely at these hidden forces. The small stresses, the social judgments, the financial strains, the silent expectations. Without seeing these pressures, no one could understand the weight they carried. And without understanding the weight, no one could begin to imagine what a better path might look like. Chapter 3, The Cost, The Courage, The Path Forward. The cost of single motherhood showed itself slowly. It appeared in late night exhaustion, early morning urgency, and the quiet fear that something might go wrong without a backup plan. It grew in moments that did not make headlines: a missed bus, a higher grocery bill, a sudden school notice, a shift change at work. These moments stacked on one another until they formed a pattern that shaped daily life. The weight was steady and relentless. The mothers often did not talk about this cost. They focused on practical tasks because there was no time to reflect. Yet the effects were real. Chronic stress settled into their bodies. It showed in tense shoulders, interrupted sleep, and a constant sense of vigilance. It showed in mental fatigue that made even small decisions feel heavy. It showed in the quiet tears some mothers shed after their children were asleep. It showed in the careful pauses they took throughout the day to gather themselves before continuing. Financial strain carried its own cost. Mothers described the mental toll of living paycheck to paycheck. They talked about the pressure of knowing that any unexpected expense could throw their entire month off balance. They carried the responsibility of providing everything: rent, food, clothing, school supplies, transportation, medicine, fees, and treats when they could afford them. Every dollar had a destination. Every mistake had a consequence. For some mothers, the cost took the form of missed opportunities. They turned down promotions that required late hours because they had no one to watch their children. They skipped classes that could have advanced their careers because they could not afford tuition or time. They delayed medical visits for themselves because their children needed school items more urgently. They often placed their own needs last because the household depended on their stability. Emotional costs reached deeper. Mothers described carrying silent worries. They wondered whether they were doing enough. They wondered whether their children missed out. They wondered whether the long hours away from home would have lasting effects. They wondered whether their choices made under pressure would shape the future in ways they could not see. These questions followed them through the day. They lingered in their minds at night. Yet within these stories, there was another thread: courage. It did not announce itself loudly. It showed up in steady movements, consistent decisions, and quiet resilience. It showed up in how mothers woke early, planned carefully, and navigated the unexpected. It showed up in how they advocated for their children. It showed up in how they found strength in exhaustion. This courage appeared in many forms. A mother facing eviction worked with a counselor to negotiate a plan with her landlord, even though the conversation frightened her. Another mother saved small amounts of money each week to build a tiny emergency fund, even though her budget was already tight. Another mother reached out to a community worker to ask for help with school supplies, pushing through the shame she felt at needing support. Each of these actions required bravery. Each one showed a willingness to push against circumstances. Courage also appeared in the way mothers created small pockets of stability for their children. One mother created a bedtime routine that never changed, even when she was tired. She read the same story every night because it helped her child feel safe. Another mother cooked big batches of food on weekends so her weekday evenings would have a peaceful rhythm. Another mother made Sundays a quiet day with simple activities that did not require spending money. These moments became anchors in the lives of their children. Some mothers developed social networks that acted as informal support systems. They exchanged childcare with trusted friends. They formed small groups to share groceries. They shared information about school programs, discounts, and community events. They checked on one another when work schedules became overwhelming. These networks did not remove the strain, but they softened it. In some neighborhoods, a system known as time banking took hold. Mothers offered 1 hour of help to another family in exchange for 1 hour of help later. This system worked well for evening errands, quick school pickups, or moments when a job called unexpectedly. It reduced the sense of isolation many mothers felt. It created a sense of shared responsibility without requiring money. Other mothers found support in structured programs offered at community centers. These programs offered skills training, childcare assistance, emotional support groups, and financial planning workshops. They provided a space where mothers could speak openly without judgment. They offered guidance on navigating institutions. They helped mothers understand available resources. Research offered a broader view of the situation. Studies from universities and policy groups documented the effects of chronic stress on single-parent households. They found that long-term stress could affect physical health, mental well-being, and work performance. They found that financial instability increased the likelihood of food insecurity and housing instability. They found that lack of affordable childcare limited career advancement. These findings painted a clear picture of the pressures by single mothers. Yet research also highlighted strengths. Many single mothers developed strong problem-solving skills. They became adept at managing time, budgets, and household needs. They demonstrated high levels of emotional resilience. They adapted to unpredictable situations. They built strong bonds with their children. Researchers noted that these strengths formed the foundation for growth when support systems were in place. Experts often emphasized that progress required both community action and institutional change. They noted that single mothers did not need pity. They needed practical support. They needed affordable childcare, flexible work arrangements, fair wages, and accessible transportation. They needed safe housing and reliable healthcare. They needed systems that recognized the realities of their lives. The path forward required cooperation between individuals, communities, employers, and policymakers. In some cities, small changes had already begun. Employers experimented with flexible scheduling for parents. Schools created after-hours programs that extended into early evenings. Libraries offered supervised study spaces for children. Community groups organized meal-sharing programs. These efforts showed that small adjustments could reduce daily pressure. One example came from a workplace where a supervisor introduced a simple rule. Parents could attend school meetings without penalty as long as they communicated in advance. This rule did not cost the company money. It did not reduce productivity. It allowed parents, including single mothers, to meet their children's needs without fear. The change reduced stress and improved morale. Another example came from a local school that partnered with a community center to offer free tutoring 3 days a week. This relieved mothers from having to balance homework support with evening chores. It also gave children a space to learn in a structured environment. Mothers reported feeling a sense of relief, even if the change seemed small on paper. A third example came from a neighborhood group that organized monthly supply swaps. Families brought clothes, books, and household items they no longer needed. They exchanged them freely. Mothers who participated saved money and felt supported by their community. The swaps also encouraged conversation, which reduced isolation. These examples showed that progress was possible. They showed that small steps could make a significant difference. They showed that mothers thrived when given room to breathe. Inside the home, mothers continued to build their own strategies. Some developed detailed calendars to track school events, bills, work hours, and household needs. Others created quiet spaces for themselves where they could rest for a few minutes each day. Others used short breathing exercises when they felt overwhelmed. These practices helped them manage stress, even if they could not eliminate it. One mother described her strategy of creating morning checklists. She placed them on the fridge. She reviewed them every night. She said the routine helped her sleep better because she felt prepared for the next day. Another mother said she set aside 10 minutes each evening to reflect on what went well that day. She said it helped her focus on strengths rather than stress. Another mother said she taught her children simple responsibilities so the household ran more smoothly. The mothers knew that none of these strategies solved the larger problems, but they helped. They created stability. They offered moments of relief. They helped mothers maintain a sense of control. As communities and institutions explored improvements, one question became central. What did a dignified path forward look like? A path that recognized the real cost of single motherhood. A path that respected the courage required to carry so much. A path that did not depend on heroism to function. A dignified path forward meant systems designed with care. It meant policies rooted in reality. It meant understanding that single mothers were not exceptions. They were part of the social fabric. Their contribution was vital. Their challenges were addressable. It meant workplaces recognizing that flexibility was not a favor. It was a practical adjustment that benefited everyone. It meant schools offering support that matched the needs of families. It meant transportation systems that ran reliably. It meant access to affordable childcare. It meant reducing stigma by speaking honestly about the pressures mothers faced. It also meant celebrating the strengths of single mothers, their resilience, their resourcefulness, their determination, their ability to navigate complex challenges. These qualities were not evidence that they needed less help. They were evidence that they deserved more support. A dignified path forward also required listening. Mothers needed spaces where they could voice their concerns without fear of judgment. They needed opportunities to help shape the policies that affected them. They needed recognition, not as burdens, but as partners in building better communities. In the final stretch of the day, after the work was finished and the children were asleep, a single mother sat at her kitchen table. She looked at the bills she had managed to pay. She looked at the list she had prepared for the next day. She felt tired, but she also felt something else. She felt a small sense of hope. She imagined what her life might look like with a little more support. A bus that arrived on time, a workplace that understood her responsibilities, a school that offered consistent communication, a community willing to share resources. She imagined a lighter load. She imagined breathing more freely. The clock on the wall ticked softly. She took a deep breath and closed her eyes. The exhaustion in her body did not disappear, but it eased for a moment. She knew she would wake early again. She knew the routine would repeat, but she also knew that change was possible. This was the truth beneath the silent load. The cost was real, the courage was steady, and the path forward, though not simple, could be built with intention. The final question remained: what would it take for the world to see the weight mothers carried and create a future where they did not have to carry it alone?